I love this. Okay. My Enneagram type does not like this. The other reason I'm excited to do this is I'm very remedial because it took me more than 3 years to figure out my Enneagram type. I don't know if that's good or bad, or you just don't know yourself at all, but Nancy Dunn came to talk to me about it one day at my job, and we talked a little bit. It was, I think, last year when we were doing the classes, and I said, I don't know that I'm the type I've been thinking I am. And she asked me a few questions. She goes, yeah, you're not that type. So there's a couple ways to find your type. And a lot of you probably took a test. Do you still have some of the tests, Sarah?
Does anyone not know their type?
Or even if you know your type, you might not know your type. You might want that. Okay.
Or, kind of not so much the traits that identify me as those that I really don't want to identify me.
Okay. Does anybody else have that experience of finding your type? Do you know your type yet, Ms. Corbin?
I have some ideas.
She has some ideas.
I think I relate to her.
Uh-huh. What were you going to say about it? Okay, can y'all hear that? She's saying she feels like she pulls different traits from different types. Does anyone else feel that? That sometimes if they're talking about number two, you're like, I think I'm a two. And then you go home and the next week they come back and they talk about three. And you're like, no, actually, I'm a three. Right. It's a very intellectual, it's a tool for the intellectually curious. It's not a tool that you just kind of pick up. So I think we're pretty much who we're going to be. So I was a part of the class that sort of preceded this, and so I think of it as a base. But some of you were here. Sarah and I shared, and then we had the privilege of hearing Chris Copeland talk about spiritual practice. And I have been so smitten and so affected by some of his teaching on the silence, which is ironic because I really like to talk, which is, I think, why I'm so drawn to silence. But also by one of his practices that he suggested at the end of the day called examine. And this does relate to the Enneagram in that he just wants you to go through a simple exercise. It sounds easy, but it's quite hard. But to take, let's start simple, maybe 5 minutes at the end of your day, 15's ideal. But just sort of write down, where did you feel good, or where did you feel the presence of God, or what about your day do you recall that gave you a positive feeling? And then on the other side, just sort of write down, where was that sort of rub? And I think if he was here, he would say, don't label it bad, don't judge it. But where did you feel a little discomfort? Or where are you, if you're me, going to go to sleep and wake up in the night and play that over again and think, I wonder? So in doing that, I think we sort of find some clues to how our type works. But I put on your handout, I have a few more handouts. I don't know if I have enough for everybody, but I need to read one. And because of our format, I'm just going to read it myself. But he, in the last time that he taught, he offered something called the welcoming prayer. And I don't know if you, yeah, you can go make some copies. Yeah, I want that. Thank you. So when he read the welcoming prayer, he sort of asked us for feedback. Was anybody here when Chris Copeland taught on the welcoming prayer? Or some of you probably already know it. Well, I didn't know it. And I was like, is this a possible way to live? So before we dive into sort of a more, what can get to feel a very cognitive and very intellectual exploration of our type with the Enneagram, I sort of wanted to open us with the welcoming prayer. So And it was by Thomas Keating. I don't know if you know who he was, but he's responsible for bringing a lot of centering prayer and re-embracing the Christian mystics. And he actually passed away about 2 weeks ago. I think he was about 95. But I have found him to be someone who really knew God and really points the way. I don't know what his Enneagram was, but he is sort of the one who created this. So let's just sort of, if you have it, if you want to read along, that's great. If you don't, you can just listen. The welcoming prayer. I welcome everything that comes to me today because I know it's for my healing. I welcome all thoughts, feelings, emotions, persons, situations, and conditions. I let go of my desire for power and control. I let go of my desire for affection, esteem, approval, and pleasure. I let go of my desire for survival and security. I let go of my desire to change any situation, condition, person, or myself. I open to the love and presence of God and God's action within. Amen. So that introduction made me curious of, wow, I think I'm going to really need a lot of like full-time supernatural help. I mean, just pick one line, you know. And to sort of have that playing in the background of my mind as I've passed through the last few months, it's more of a curiosity. Does this happen to people? Is this possible? Is this what God is trying to draw us to this kind of steadfastness and security in Him? And so for me, and because we're in a church, people are using the Enneagram all over the place. It's really big in business right now. It's been transformative for the few people that I've worked with, for us that know their type, to understand, okay, they're just being a seven and they don't want to hear this problem, and that's okay. It's not because they're mad at me. They're just being their type and I'm just being my type. So what I do like about the Enneagram over the Myers-Briggs, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, is that it shows you stress and health and integration and disintegration. So if you've been here, I'm trusting Sarah touched on that. Does anybody want to make a comment so I can see, you know, if you know your type, you want to move towards health, but you often move towards stress. Did anybody take anything from that or go through the week sort of wondering about their type? So I'll get you started. It's easy because today's my type. So this is six. What I find is the more sixes are, you can turn to your second page if you have a handout, that's the loyal skeptics. So sixes, I think, can be hard to type because they can seem very, very confident. But underneath, what they're asking and what the six systemically needs is, are you with me? Do I have your support? Or the reverse of that, moving towards more stress, would be, please don't leave me. Please don't make me do this by myself. And so you can kind of see, but of course there are moments where we need to find security within ourselves. Does anyone else think that they might identify as a six that's here? Yeah. Do you want to say anything about your experience of being a six? Or how you came to believe that you were a six? So what's counterphobic mean? Help other people in the room understand what a counterphobic, because no other type has a counterphobic part to it. Okay.
And so that's all how it happens. And then, but my heart rate, because, you know, I'm just very excited and tense and energized. And so for me, I just didn't think.
Mm-hmm.
But it has often has to do with like physical challenges.
Okay.
So
sixes can go the other direction and be very, very confident. But it's different if you're a three, you are confident, right? The achiever is going to achieve. And of course, everyone has insecurities, but threes are wired for success, whereas sixes are much more wired for what the moment takes to keep them out of fear. It's kind of, yeah. Okay. Any other sixes want to make a comment? Or if you live with a six, I think that's fair to comment on a six. Are y'all afraid to say anything because you're a six? because we're sort of looking at stress and health, I love reading. So they're essentially, Nancy Dunn knows a lot more, but this is how I've kind of handled it. So I'd be interested for you to weigh in. I'm very interested in learning. And so I believe that's because I have a five wing. Fives like to gather lots of information. And the amount of information I've decided to gather on the Enneagram is next level. It's like, wow. I mean, my family's like, Mom, please. Like, God, stop. Don't type us. And, you know, it has been helpful, I think, in the family to some degree. But there are two big groups that have been around exploring the Enneagram for a long time. One is the Enneagram Institute in New York, and I put their website here. And I think maybe, Nancy, they were very early in terms of a place that you could go to learn about the Enneagram. And is the second one the Narrative Enneagram? So the Enneagram Institute in New York, if you're really interested in this and you want to have a fun Sunday afternoon, go to the Enneagram Institute website and you will read and read and read. The narrative, what were you going to say?
Can I suggest one thing? On that website, you can sign up for a daily Enneathon. And it's really helpful. You can actually sign up for two different ones. So if you're trying to decide you're going up, I think I might get six, I might get nine.
I would describe it as searing. It's a good way to start your day. It's if you're a six, try this day. And I'm like, oh, I'm pretty sure I'm not going to be trying that without some supernatural help. I have found that helpful. And I'll switch the wing I get from a seven to a five and sort of do that. But the other one is the Narrative Enneagram. And that one is not as information-oriented, although their website also has a lot. And Chris Copeland is certified in that, if you've heard him, and he also taught. I know some of you were in his lifelong learning class through Wake. He's the narrative tradition, and it believes more in what we're sort of doing this morning, talking about your type and listening to others. Like when you said counterphobic six, someone in the room might have been like, oh, yes, I see. And they believe much more in narrating your feelings and how you do. So the words that I put on your handout today, because I didn't have the same book Sarah had been using, and I have quite a few, but it's fine. It says, a loyal skeptics believe you must gain certainty and security in a hazardous world that you just can't trust. So they are, loyal skeptics are intuitive, inquisitive, trustworthy, good friends, and problem solvers, but also can be doubtful, accusatory, and fearful. So that to me kind of crystallized, you know, we're talking about sort of in sickness and in health, to borrow another phrase some people in this room have uttered. You know, at your best, you're giving and caring, but as you become worried and destabilized, basically it's sort of your way of going inward and pulling away. But what I believe is as you understand yourself, or what I see as I become unhealthy, it's actually a signal for me to pause and go back to what am I trying to do here? I'm not actually trying to be a healthy six. I'm trying to be a human who is centered in the love of God. And the Enneagram is just a sign along the way that as I start going down and becoming doubtful and thinking people are doing things that they're, I mean, they may be doing them, but they're probably not doing to the extent I think they are, to pause and to sort of allow that silence to enter. The life lesson, I loved that, that was on the narrative Enneagram. It says to reclaim trust in yourself, others, and the world, and live comfortably with uncertainty. I was kind of like, shoot, I thought it was going to be to gain certainty to live comfortably. But that's not what it says. It says to sort of marry that uncertainty. And I'm not going to go through every piece of the six, but I know we're supposed to cover two types, so we will do that. But do other sixes want to weigh in on what it feels like in your world or in your skin to be a six? Sort of one of the pieces of what a six can be like can be kind of flip-flopping, to sort of go from wildly confident to then, you know, very unsure. And I've heard, this is not how I experienced it, but I've heard some sixes talk about they're sort of scanning the horizon even for external concerns. You know, the news. Dixon was talking this morning about how do you feel when you watch the news? Do you want to turn it off? For a six, scanning just the headlines can be something that causes them because they're hypervigilant.
For me, being a six, I'm a planner. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. I can get so wrapped up in my contingency plans. It's interesting the point about live comfortably with uncertainty. Mm-hmm. I think that is definitely something that that challenges me. Yeah, because I'm on control.
Yeah.
And I'm on other plans.
And I think for me, you know, it's your type. I'm like, do people live comfortably with uncertainty? Like, is that a thing? Do people actually like that? I thought everybody was just like this. But one thing I copied when I was on the Narrative Enneagram website, Chris Copeland had actually written a blog about how getting a hold of the Enneagram changed his life. He said, I was mesmerized by how someone who didn't know me at all could describe the deeper stirrings of my heart and mind. I felt seen, exposed, and vulnerable as this professor shared some shadow aspects of my type. And so I think of a lot of this as sort of the freedom to come out of the dark and into the light and not be so afraid of that or uncertain, or, you know, if you're more of a one, to be like, well, what if people realize I'm not perfect? It's like, well, they probably already do realize you're not perfect, but it's scarier for you than for others. Whereas a six is trying to tell you, I'm not perfect. Let me show you all the ways. But in the blog, Chris touched on something that I thought was really interesting, and that I've certainly had the experience of seeing myself in all the types. I think it was you mentioned you found yourself by looking at the weaknesses more than the strengths. But there are places where I think the point of the Christian life is union, and that we're all sort of one in some mysterious way that I don't know that we understand. And so you are going to see pieces of yourself in all the types. And we're not in this class going to get into the wings, but some of you have obviously studied and mentioned. So your wing is the number on either side of you. So if you're six, you have probably some aspects of fives and some aspects of sevens. And how different people have different interpretations, but I like the one that fits for me is you are, most people believe, born with your type. And as you grow and mature, you want to embrace both wings. And that if you think of sort of a picture of balance, you know, if I'm a six and I'm always going to seven, I'm kind of over here like this. And if I'm a six going to five, I'm like that. But if I'm a six grounded in myself and in God, then I'm poised to balance in the middle. And that kind of makes sense to me, but I just kind of made that up, so I don't know if that's right, Nancy. Yeah.
I hope you don't mind someone to talk about you, but as I see this, I don't know that you and I have talked when you said you landed on your actual, because you went so long, not knowing what the one were. Mm-hmm. But it's kind of interesting, I think, helpful to see someone else. So at your happiest and when you are glowing the most, you kind of are in that peacekeeping world, and Mm-hmm. I mean, I think, so now knowing from the outside, what I think helpful for all of us is where, like you said before, on the thing to do at night, where do you feel the most joy?
Mm-hmm.
Like, knowing you and spending a lot of time with you, you found the most joy being a peacekeeper. And mm-hmm. you were sort of tearing your hair out, like, what the heck? I'm not a three. I don't want to be a three. I'm not a three. Is when you're in
conflict. And we did a lot together. We were at another workshop where you really had to dig into yourself, and you had to ask, and you had to kind of like call a friend and say, is this what you see me? So I called my husband, who's here, and I said, I think my line here is I want to keep the peace. And he goes, no, I don't think that's what it is. That's not it. But sixes do move to nine. Sixes like peace. Why? Because they like stability. But they also can be, so let's look here at the strengths and challenges. Kristen kind of started us. Strengths, they're perceptive, sensitive, loyal, warm, witty, courageous, and strategic thinking. I like that. That sounds great. So I'm not scared, because if that's really how I am, then Sarah's going to like me, and Ann's going to like me, and Keely's going to like me, and everybody's going to like me. I'm going to have all these people around me supporting me, and I'm going to be safe forever from uncertainty. And guess what? I don't need God. So it's not so great for me to stay in that place. And that's why I like the Enneagram. So I believe that if we grow and we really try to go in the world beyond where we're comfortable, and I will say, you know, if you're in a marriage of any kind with a partner, you're going to go uncomfortable places because that's just part of what it is. Or if you have children. But if you have very collegial working relationships, that's a great place. It's a great place because most jobs you get under stress. So when you look at the challenges of the six, it's anxious, hypervigilant, pessimistic, contrary, and an overactive imagination. Oh no. Now all the people that were my supporters and all my friends are gone. So that makes me think I need to hide. I need to hide behind being busy. I need to hide behind doing things that I'm really good at. I need to hide behind if Sarah says you didn't do a good job, I need to push back and tell her, yes, I did, and let me tell you what's wrong with you. But I probably wouldn't tell her. I'll just think it. And I'll seethe inwardly. Why am I acting like this? Because I'm a terrible person and I'm evil? I'm afraid. So I think in a community of belonging, in a community of faith, the potential for the Enneagram to allow us to kind of come out of the dark and let the light in where we really can support each other. And that when we really do love each other, this is just a tool that we can say, you know, if Sarah and I work together a lot, she might see me getting really anxious and say, you know what? You're doing that six thing, which feels a lot better than they're just tools to get into. Let me give you a little feedback here. I mean, how many people, when someone says, I'm going to give you a little feedback, feel open-hearted and relaxed? Right. Okay. So, but I think these, for me, have been very, very helpful. And just to understand, oh, I am being a little hyper-vigilant. Probably whatever isn't going to happen, or when the hurricane comes, probably a tree's not going to fall in my house. I mean, it could. It could, the overactive imagination. And people around you don't appreciate that kind of pessimism. So before we go on to one more thing, even if you just live with a six or want to comment, a six is a little confusing because you're going to hear this counterphobic. And all a counterphobic six is someone who seems more like an achiever, more like a go-getter, more driving, who's willing to be up front, who's able to be up front, and they're simply overcompensating to hide their fear so that they, and that's why you shouldn't type other people. The six is probably, to me, the best example of don't try to tell someone what they are. Do you know why? It's not about what you see on the outside. You do not know how that person's feeling. It's about your drive. That's why it's not the Myers-Briggs. It's not like, oh, you know, when Lynn gets to a party, she's super outgoing and the life. And I mean, okay, but we don't really know what's going on inside. And we mustn't judge that because that just leads us into broken relationships and into suffering. So the thing to really remember about a six is at their best, they're very loyal. And if you have a friend that's a six, they are going to tie themselves to you and go down in flames. They're going to be afraid doing it, but they are going to stick in there. It's very hard for them to give things up, but they can become, you know, at their worst, very sort of anxious, hypervigilant, and they may tend to sort of isolate themselves. And so for me, that's sort of why it's a little bit harder sometimes to type a six. Did you want to say something about that, Nancy?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's just logical. What really got my attention when Nancy came to my office, I mean, she came to talk about the Enneagram. It wasn't like we were having some random, and she said something like, I bet you were always the person volunteering to be in charge of everything. And I was like, no, never. You know, so when it was like time to volunteer to like, I was at a function Friday night that some women put together for Brenners. No, like that would not, you know, or being the class mom, never. So it's just kind of ironic because what I do now is I'm director of a lower school, which does seem like I run a lot, but I do it with a big team, you know, so I don't like to be left alone. And so that was kind of my tip in that what I'm leading a lot with is, and the first thing I think often when I get in the morning is what I'm afraid of, what might go wrong, who's mad. And I was that little kid who, you're at Carowinds, everybody's been to Carowinds? I grew up in New Orleans, so I wasn't at Carowinds, but you're looking at the roller coaster and all your friends are going on it and you're being shamed. Nobody's parents cared. They weren't telling them they were bullies. They're just all full on shaming me, but I can't ride it. Like, I'm so afraid. I'm the last kid to learn to go off the high diving board. Now, once I do it, it's great and I can't stop. You know, I'm that kid up on the diving board going down the ladder and the lifeguard's going, literally going down the ladder is more dangerous than jumping off the board. Look at all these other people doing it. And even though I feel terrible and shamed, I'm so afraid that I will still act irrationally. So that was kind of how Nancy helped me see that underlying, I mean, you can grow up and overcome your fear. I mean, you learn to do things. But I think for me, that's where God came in. I mean, how many times in the Bible does it say, do not be afraid? I'm with you. I will protect you. I will go before you. When you pass through the deep waters, I am there. And so for me, when that fear is just a hallmark to draw me back to what I'm actually trying to do in my life, which is stay centered in God, it becomes like, oh, it's just another high dive. I still might not go off of it. So to round it out, unless, does anyone else have a comment about a six? Because, I mean, if we don't really get to seven, nothing's going to happen. I'm not afraid. Any other sixes or anyone want to round out the six discussion? Because all sixes aren't alike. I mean, when I took Chris Copeland's class as much as I could last spring, when I would sit in the group of sixes, I would a lot of times think, I don't feel that way, and I'd be there. What are you going to say?
No, you're talking about, like, my best friend from Montgomery, you know, like, just sitting right there, everything. Mm-hmm. We went through together over 15 years, and she knew she wasn't six. She put herself in the seven category, because that's what she wanted to be.
Well, there's that, too. Mm-hmm. And I think that can be a hallmark. I'm happy with it now. But I would hear another group, and I'd think, I think I have that. And so that's why, if you want to read Chris's blog, I didn't print it, but he talks about how you do see yourself in all of it. It's not a game. You're not like, oh, well, I'm a six now, so I can't read about eight because I'm never challenging. Of course, I'm challenging sometimes. You get me all riled up, I'm going to be challenging. Am I ever helpful? Yes. Can I act helpful and want to help if someone's sick or hurt? Do I want to help? Of course. So, you know, you have, I mean, I think really it's just nine faces of God, and the goal is to put them all together.
Do you like in ones the organizational, kind of the way they move through?
Do I personally?
As a six?
I have my secret organization. Kristen wouldn't mind me saying she's a one, and I think she would say it was a perfect marriage in that regard of our work, and that I would come up with ideas and blah, 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 and she'd write it all down in a graph, and I'd say yes or no and kind of critique it. But I do actually keep a very tight internal structure that's unique to me. It's mostly not entails with the people around me. But I don't like things to change. I don't like the plans to change. I don't lose things. It just doesn't look like when Kristen organizes it, everyone else gets it. When I organize it, it's kind of like, what? Is this like, are we supposed to know what this is? Yeah, it's my system. I don't know that that's about being a six. I think this is being weird. Okay, so Sally has creative clutter. And Sally, do you know which type you might be? Oh, no. Okay, so let's go to seven. I don't know what time it is, but Lynn says we should go to seven. So seven is, the narrative Enneagram called it the epicure. I actually had to look that up in the dictionary, so I went back and put the enthusiast. So sevens are full-on fun, don't want to feel pain, want to take advantage of every experience, embrace fullness of life, probably very fun to be with, especially part-time. But here it just says, must stay upbeat and keep your possibilities open to assure a good life. So they seek pleasurable options and are optimistic and adventurous. They also avoid pain and can be uncommitted and self-serving. So I think, you know, we've kind of got that in a nutshell. And I don't think it's a secret. I don't think I'm like tattling on him, but Dixon's a seven, and he's a pretty classic seven. And so every now and then he does some work that I have some experience in that he thinks I could be helpful. And so because I know he's a seven, when I see him getting all riled up, I'm like, so you're going to get all riled up, but this is going to hurt. Like, you're going to have to actually do something about this. And, you know, if you know a seven or you are a seven, are there some identified sevens in the room? Oh, good. So do you want to say a couple words about what it feels like to, you don't have to, you don't have to, because it might be harmful. He doesn't want to say, it's fine. What I thought was interesting is that their life lesson is to reclaim and accept all of life, the pleasures and the pains in the present moment. So that's sort of where they're moving towards health. But that sort of, and I mean, how many people in here feel that they avoid pain and that aren't sevens? But this is next level, and I would say for my experience of sevens, and we don't have a lot, there's people in here who have, oh, okay, but he doesn't want to say anything, or he would have self-identified, that they, what they exude is fun, and what they exude is often I've heard them describe themselves as collecting good and fun experiences. In what can feel like a kind of hyper kinetic way, that it's like never enough. So that in their health, if you want to look at the strengths, they're adventuresome, playful, imaginative, energetic, optimistic, and quick thinking. I want to emphasize the quick thinking, because in general, sevens, I work in a school, and we talk a lot about giving kids a pause that maybe need time to think. That kid's probably not a seven. We certainly don't type children, but you see my point. I mean, sevens are sort of quick to jump in where fools fear to tread. I mean, they're just like, here it is, here we go. They tend to be fast-paced. Their challenges, though, are self-absorbed, dispersed, uncommitted, impatient, and unrealistic. So it's kind of like when you read the six, you're like, oh my gosh, the good side's pretty good, but The one thing I want to point out about sevens, and if you are a seven and you don't want to be called on, you can just interrupt me and chime in. The self-absorbed, it helps me. Why do you think sevens, knowing that at their best, they're able to really contribute and be positive, why do you think maybe they do get self-absorbed? How does that happen to a seven? They're on their thrill ride, and they don't want to slow down. And so they're thinking like while they're here, what am I going to do this afternoon? What am I going to do? What? Because they want to keep these highs. It's also the kind of person who's often willing to try new things or take a class or whatever. I mean, I'm so cerebral, but for most people, it's not taking a class. They want to skydive. They want to take that trip. They want to go to unexplored territory. And they are a gift to all of us in that they look at the positive. And I think as a culture, they're all gifts. All the types are gifts. It's just that they can kind of tend to run amok. So does anyone here live with a seven or have experience?
My mom is a seven.
Okay.
And back when people graduate from high school and they had a quote under their picture, I don't think they do this anymore. Mom's quote was, "Nothing great is ever achieved without enthusiasm." And yet, the other side of that is, and you know, my mom's a great parent, but there was this sort of limit to some of, and there are four girls in my family, so lots of drama all the time. The Enneagram has been very helpful for my whole family system.
And that is actually a good use of it. If you can get parents and people through all the types, I think as someone that deals a lot with children, to tell a child, or anyone, that you're not feeling pain, that's exactly what we don't want. And that's the person that then is learning not to pay attention to their own inner barometer, and then we wonder why our teenagers get off course. Well, if we've been telling them, no, you don't feel this way, don't do this, don't do that. But I do think the Enneagram is a way to center in ourselves. It's hard to push back on your mother as a teenager, but in retrospect, you can really understand that. Other comments about the seven or?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like, let's jump in the car and go on an adventure. Like, it was a cool childhood to have someone that had that kind of energy. But, you know, there's always, and what, you know, we're learning this with all of the types, that there's always a flip side to whatever our gifts and our strengths are. There's always a kind of a shadow side to that.
I think the seven wants to say something. The real seven. He had his hand up. Yeah.
So for myself, I've chosen a number of occasions in life to actually consciously choose painful or difficult or challenging experience, knowing full well that it's going to be torturous.
And did you feel that by the end of it, did you feel that had helped you grow and helped you? Yeah. So I think that's the main piece. Are we supposed to be ending?
We're going to be ending in about 5 minutes.
5 minutes. Okay. To me, the gift and what you're landing on with the seven, or if Sarah's mother was here and wanted that feedback and wanted to grow, it helps us see, yours was more of an internal, like, if I take this step and if I embrace and go into this new experience and frame it as that, I'm probably going to grow. And you come out and you're like, I'm still here. Like, it's okay. Go ahead.
Is mirrors are Christian.
story of Jesus and the story of triumph and of transformation for the whole world is what seems like the way of death, Jesus offering himself on the cross. And for the Enneagram, for all of our types, whatever it is that we need to do to move to be healthy looks like death to us. It looks like the worst thing ever.
Yeah.
It looks like, you know, for a six, being in a place of holding on to your fear and trying to work through it rather than trying to push it away. With a seven, it's sort of sitting in a painful experience and not trying to immediately run away and do something fun instead. And I think that's one of the values, I think, for us as Christians in doing this kind of work. It opens up a whole new level of our spirituality and understanding our faith. Because without the cross, without seeing Jesus in great suffering, we don't have Easter. And for each of you, without going through whatever it is for your type in suffering, you don't have transformation. So that's just something that we closed last week with talking a little bit about that. And I think it's just such a gift of getting to do this work.
And I put a couple of put awareness practices on each sheet. I also brought this book, which
I think we have in the book.
Yeah, this is Chris Copeland's book that he wrote with someone that I don't know. Nancy probably knows him, Sandra Smith, who lives in Asheville. I really have found his book has some workbook pages in it, but it's very simple. I mean, it looks like this. I think it's a really good, reasonable introduction and possibly a good holiday gift if the people you love are interested in this kinds of thing. The other thing is, I think you might be aware, Chris Copeland has podcasts. I mean, lots of people have podcasts on this. Like, if you put this in your iPhone podcast on the Enneagram, you could be there. But his are about 20 minutes. And he interviews, because he's in the narrative tradition, he interviews numbers and says, what does it feel like to be? And I found him very, about the amount of time you can actually really pay attention. They're about 20 minutes. He's actually interviewed Sarah and Nancy and Dixon.
Yeah, it was me and Dixon.
Okay.
And Nancy and one of your friends.
Yeah, type two.
Type two.
Okay. So next week, we're going to do the 8 and the 9. I realize it's Thanksgiving. You can bring your relatives. But we will...
do that family word.
Remember at the Thanksgiving table when you brought up the opposing political view? That's because you're an 8. Don't do that. The 8 is the challenger. And that's a gift, but it's a very interesting type. And then the 9's the peacekeeper. So we'll sort of be going over those two. And... bring back any questions, or if you come back and you have reflections on the 6 or the 7, we're happy to talk about those too. So, all right. The Lord be with you.
And also with you. This is really great. Thank you so much.